Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, educating medical students dedicated to serving rural Minnesota and American Indian Alaska Native communities. It is exactly those students that we want to talk about this morning. Joining us on the phone is Dr. Mary Owen. She is the director of the Center of American Indian and Minority Health, and she's also on the med school staff here at UMD. Hey, Mary, good morning, and thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning, Lisa.
So congratulations on this record number of Native med students. Tell me how many students we're looking at.
We actually have 13. We thought we had 12, but we found another one.
So that's fantastic. Now, nationally, it sounds like there's only like 0.1% of Native physicians, and Native Americans make up about 2% of the population. So ideally, would you like there to be 2% or 3% or 10% of the physicians Native American in the country? What's the kind of the goal moving forward as you kind of look at the big picture?
Well, you got it right. I'd rather there be 20%, but we'll take 0.6.
Okay. That sounds great. Mary, talk a little bit about, I know we've talked about this on the show before, but if folks, you know, missed that episode, talk a little bit about why it's so important, in particular in Indian country, to have Native physicians.
Well, there are plenty of good research out there that shows that people do better when they are served by physicians and providers who look more like themselves. They have better outcomes. They're more likely to follow up so that you can get those better outcomes. And as it is, that's number one. Number two is that we have low numbers of physicians occupying those spaces in Indian health, whether Native or non-Native, but Native are more likely, minorities in general are more likely to go and serve the underserved. And Native people are particularly more likely to go and serve in our Native communities.
So there's a strong pull or sense of responsibility to go out. We hear this from people in different areas of study,
right, like
too.
And right.
Say, I want to go out and I want to come back to my community and I want to give something back to my community. I want to be able to stay here and make a living while I do it.
Exactly. It feels good to people because it's comfortable. It's their culture, whatever that culture might be, whether it's rural culture or Native American culture. And at the same time, they know that their service is needed. So there is a sense of responsibility.
Talk a little bit about some of the Native physicians, though. I guess I kind of wonder if any of the med students feel as though they're feeling obligated, or I don't know, pressured isn't really the right word, but they're perhaps wondering if, I mean, maybe they want to go out to like L.A. and become plastic surgeons. Or maybe they've got other dreams to do something different. Do you think that maybe they're sensing, or some of them are saying, you know, I'd like to be able to feel like the whole world is open to me? Or what is their sense on that? Of course, we know a lot of people that we sense kind of kick back against this idea about obligation, but it's not the same in every culture.
So students are not recruited with this and told that they have any obligation. They're recruited with their sense of community in mind, because it's that sense of community that's more likely to get them to not necessarily just serve in our communities, but to serve the Native community at large. So plastic surgeon's a little bit of an extreme, but say you wanted to be a neurosurgeon, you could still serve the Native community by being a neurosurgeon. We might have one if we have any at all in the country. I always give people the example that, as far as I know, we only have 3 Native gastroenterologists in the entire nation, and one of them happens to serve on the board of the Association of American Indian Physicians, and he serves by watching out for mentoring the students within his own school. He serves by being on the board for the association, which serves communities across the country. You know, lots of different ways you can serve the Native community. And so we don't put up an obligation that you have to return to your community. But we do happen to just by looking for students who are connected to their homes, connected to their community, their culture, we're more likely to get the folks who are going to do that without, you know, without feeling a sense of, I'm told I have to do this.
Right.
I signed the dotted line.
I'm being kind of pigeonholed in a direction I don't want to go. Well, and you obviously are a Native physician, and you are serving Native communities, but you have certainly been able to indulge your sense of adventure. Your home and your home community is in Alaska, and yet you find yourself here in tropical Minnesota. And so obviously there are lots of opportunities for Native physicians, not only in their home communities, but even if they want to give back to Native communities, there are a lot of opportunities for them.
Lisa, I did serve my tribe for 11 years.
You did.
Yeah, and then I came back here to work in, as you say, tropical, although
right.
It's so much colder than my own home of Juneau, Alaska. So.
It really is. No, I realize that. I think I had mentioned that you had served your own community for quite a while. But if a person does say, I'd like to see a little bit of other parts
Absolutely.
Of the country, for example, they would
Definitely.
Certainly have some opportunities. So,
well, a lot of people feel it's important that people recognize that there are pluses and minuses to going back and working for your immediate community. You know, you're really well known. Your family's well known. There's a whole politics issue that comes into returning any community, whether rural or native.
Right.
So.
But it sounds like one of the things that has got to be so gratifying for these young people is the idea that there are jobs and communities just begging and waiting for them to come and enter the field. And there aren't
just for native positions, though. That's for any position. We have a 50% vacancy within the IHS within this region. So
wow,
we need any well-intended physician who wants to work with our community.
So they're
well-intended, someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. But that is something that not every graduate can say, or not every student can say going into a course of study. Obviously, med school is not for the faint of heart. It's a number of years of very hard work, but the idea that there can be jobs on the other side that are practically guaranteed, you can't say that about every field these days. That's for sure.
That's right.
See, as long as we were on the topic here briefly of the Association of American Indian Physicians, I understand that they have either voted in for this year or voted in for the coming year an astonishingly well-qualified woman to head up that organization. Is there truth to that rumor?
I was elected. I'm president-elect, so I am the second to the president this year, and then for 2 years I'll be president. Thank you.
What, Mary, that's wonderful, and congratulations. What will that mean for you to serve in that role?
It's kind of cool because you get to decide the direction of AAIP for those 2 years that you're serving. So, you know, you could decide, for instance, to shore up the AAIP, increase work hard on membership, work with your board to do that. You could decide to reach out more to the leaders of Native communities in Native health around the country, work more with the National Indian Health Board, you know, work on any issue, of course, that's affecting Native health.
And so you've got a year to kind of plot your strategy and the things that you think might be important priorities for your 2 years then.
Yep.
Do you have?
I have a good idea already. It's really developing these regional, you know, we have 12 Native students applying to our 13 in our medical school, but that usually means that another region gets shorted. So I really, you know, we're all skimming off the top with these medical students, people who apply to medical school. We really need to develop our regional pipelines or pathways, as people like to call them now, of students. And so I would really like to emphasize that all of our schools take accountability for that piece, long before application to medical school.
So while kids are still in middle school or high school, they're being encouraged and educated
right.
that the idea is, yes, you can go to med school. There are mentors and there are people that are there that are going to help you make this possible. And so if your grades are good and you know, this is kind of your aptitude, hey, there's lots of people there to take your hand and help you just take that as far as you can go.
Exactly. You know, we have we don't have great high school graduation rates, and we know that that's partly due to the system. So working to help, you know, either remedy those problems within the systems or develop our own pathways. And I don't mean high school. I mean all the way back to when they're in mama's bellies, you know. I mean, White Earth has a great program that does prenatal, reaches out and does a lot of prenatal work because we recognize that that's such a critical period in a person's life. So we need to emphasize programs like that. You know, I always say K through in the field or K through practice, but in reality, I would like it to go even further back than that, earlier than that.
Mary, it's going to be exciting to talk with you over the next few years when we can track you down. Thank heavens for the miracle of cell phones, but it's going to be exciting to talk with you over the next few years and find out about these conversations that you're having with communities all over the country and the work that you're doing. And congratulations to UMD's brand new 13 med students, and hope you have an absolute blast while you're here, and it'll be fun to follow the progress.
Lisa, I'd like to do a shout-out, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
To Dr. Robin Michaels. She's the Associate Dean of Student Affairs and our Student Life and Academic Affairs, quite a title. And, you know, we would not be here without the great support that she's given us through admissions to help follow this mission through. Something that she did this year for the first time ever is the first class of the year, she did a land acknowledgement, acknowledging that this is the land of the Anishinaabe. So it's pieces like that that are attracting students to our school. And so, again, thank you, Dr. Michael.
Wow.
Thank you, Lisa, for allowing us on this time.
Oh, absolutely, Mary. Thank you so much for joining us. And the more we hear about people doing better, the more we can try to pattern ourselves in that direction. Mary, drive safely. Have a great day of meetings today. And thanks again so much for joining us.
Which, take care.
Dr. Mary Owen, our guest this morning on Journey to Wellness in Indian Country. She's the director of the Center of American Indian and Minority Health. UMD is welcoming a record number of 13 Native med students this fall. Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School, Duluth Campus, a national leader in improving healthcare access and outcomes in rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities.